For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the Gospel of Luke, and beginning with the verse 51 and reading through the end of the chapter, which is verse 62. It's the Gospel of Luke, and beginning with verse 51, and reading the words in Jesus' name. I'm sorry?
Chapter
9. Well, you're supposed to know these things. Okay, chapter 9, verse 51 of the Gospel of Luke. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. Father, these are your words. And Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to us through these words, that you would give to us encouragement, understanding, give to us the weapons and the understanding and the encouragement that we need to go on. So Father, sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it is difficult. But Father, you know all that goes on in our lives. You know all that transcends everything. So Father, we pray that you would speak to us and that you would give us the encouragement that we need to continue on. Father, these words are true because you are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular portion of this gospel deals with the time or the timing when Jesus was going to have to be crucified. There was still a certain amount of time away. I don't know exactly what it is, where it's weeks, months, whatever. But it is the start of it. And as we read in the 51st verse, it says that it came to pass when the time was come, he should be received up. So basically what this verse is telling us is that, okay, now starts that timing. Now starts that time where the crucifixion of our Lord and the salvation for us is going to take place. There were still some things that needed to be done. There were still some lessons that needed to be taught. There were still some things that had to be said. But Jesus knew that the time, that his time was about done. And then it wasn't his time, but it was God's time. Because God was looking at all that had been done, and he was at that point that, okay, the disciples have been instructed, are instructed, will be instructed, and it's time now to continue on. But to continue on without a teacher, but to continue on with the next entity, if you will, that will encourage all of those who believe, and that is the Holy Spirit. So he sent messengers before his face. In other words, he sent people out. And in this case, as we read in verse 54, James and John, they saw what had happened. But they sent them to the village of Samaria, or the Samaritan village, which we know, and it's been spoken of many times, about how the Jews felt about the Samaritans. It wasn't a good feeling. So why did Jesus, knowing this, knowing that there was animosity there between the two, between the Samaritans and the Jews, why was this the first village or the first town or the first area where Jesus sent his disciples to spread that gospel message? And it was because there is no one that is left behind. There is no one that is cast aside and say, you're not worthy of the message that I am bringing to you. It is because all are included. And in God's kingdom, it is all inclusive. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your lineage is. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is or your ethnic group. That makes no difference. Because to God, we are all his children. We are all his. And he calls each and every one of us so that we can be a part of his family. But as we see, them Samaritans they weren't crazy about the idea. They did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Jesus was very, in verse 51, he says that he set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, his focus was, okay, now it's time. Now I've got to start traveling. Here it was the same. His face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. That was his journey. It wasn't, in other words, he was not going to Samaria to preach and to gather at that particular time. Yes, he was going to stop there. Yes, he was going to spread a message there. But he was not focusing on them. He was focusing on going to Jerusalem. When James and John saw this, the human aspect of them, which they was still a very much a part of them. They had not received the Holy Spirit yet. So the humanness of them said, let's bring down fire like Elijah did to the 50 or the 100 soldiers. It's recorded in the second book of Kings, the first chapter. He said, wilt that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did. Isn't that a humanistic type thought? Isn't that something that we as humans can ask or be tempted to do? You won't believe me, so I'm going to kill you. Basically, that's what was being said. Because I believe this way, then you must believe that way also. And if you don't, then I am going to do something bad to you. This wasn't the way Jesus taught. This isn't the way that he taught his disciples. This wasn't the way that his example that he gave to the disciples and that they witnessed and followed and saw. That wasn't the example that he portrayed. The example that he portrayed was love and compassion. And he turns to them. He says, you don't even know what type of a spirit you have. You know not what manner of spirit you are of. You don't know the spirit that I have been trying to teach you. You haven't been able to understand it or comprehend it. There have been times, where they understood or that God gave them a glimmer of what Jesus was, who he was, and what he was teaching. But Christ has to tell him again. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That thought was so prevalent throughout that age where Jesus did his teaching and his ministry. Let's kill him. That was the thing that took place at that time. If a person didn't do what a king would ask him to do or what a king would decree, get rid of him. And so this was the type of life that they were still living. This was the understanding that they still had. And it comes out at the moment when something, as in this case, Jesus sent them out, and it continues on this same way even in the next chapter, chapter 10. Jesus appointed 70 more disciples to go out and spread his gospel message. And this is actually the start of it. But Jesus sent them out to spread the love and the compassion and the salvation that he was going to offer up. Didn't work out so well because there were nobody to listen to him. And as it says in the next chapter, in chapter 10, it says that if they don't hear you, then don't stay there and continue to try to convince people. Stay there and continue to try to make them believe and make them understand, because you can't do that. It is God's Spirit that does that. In our lives that we have, we believe, we trust, or let me rephrase that. In my life, and I'm sure in yours, but in mine, it is the Holy Spirit that speaks. It's the Holy Spirit that guides and instructs. And it's the Holy Spirit that reminds, no, you don't treat people that way. No, you do not continue to hammer on somebody who doesn't want to hear you. You give to them the message, and then you allow me to do the rest. And because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That message is proclaimed. But then the Holy Spirit starts to speak. As a songwriter says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He doesn't work with a hammer. He doesn't work with a chisel. He doesn't work with a piece of equipment. But the way he works is every bit as powerful. It's every bit as strong. And it gets to the point at time for someone who begins to heed that call. So the key here is begins to heed that call. You start listening. You start hearing. Haven't totally accepted it. Haven't fully accepted it and understood it. But it's starting to make sense. And it's starting to convict. And you begin to realize that I am a sinner. And there is nothing within me that I can look at that is good. And the Holy Spirit continues to work on that fertile ground. And he continues to give, continues to instruct, continues to encourage, until we finally come to that point that I recognize that I am a sinner. And I have nothing to offer. And I believe what Christ had done for me. This is how Jesus wanted them to preach. This is how Jesus wanted them to spread that message. I have not come, he says, I am not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Well, for a human to look at that and you say, well, destroy men's lives is just a fact of killing them. So he didn't come to do that. So how is he going to save them? Well, he's not going to save them in a physical sense, but he saves them spiritually. And you see, that's another way that the Holy Spirit works, because it begins to reveal in the heart that this life is not eternal. This physical life that we are living on this earth is not eternal. It's not a life that we can expect to go on, but it is temporary. And as such, there is a better way. And there is an eternal life, but it is far from this earth. It is far from what we know. And it is sitting with God and praising and glorifying Him. So they went on to another village after Samaria, continued on. And as they continued down, as time passed on, and as they went along the way, there was a certain man, I believe it was in Matthew, when it speaks of this same happening, Matthew calls this certain individual, calls him a scribe. And I found that to be interesting, because through Scripture there were a few incidences where a scribe or a Pharisee would actually believe in Christ, would actually believe that he was the Son of God, would actually believe that he was the coming Messiah, or he was the Messiah that had come. So it's not unusual for or hard to believe that it was a scribe that would have talked to him, because they would have known the Scripture. They would have known what the Messiah was supposed to be doing. And he says to him, he says, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Have you ever done that, even in a secular sense? You look at something and boy, that's interesting, and I'm going to do that. And then you fail miserably. All of a sudden it becomes, as time goes on, it becomes more difficult. And things start to happen that you didn't expect. And things are revealed that you never thought of and thought, wow, I didn't know it was going to come to this. But see, that's the way it is when we try to follow Christ on our own. When we try to follow the Savior without acknowledging that He is the Savior. Can't do it. You can't do it. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." If you're going to follow me, you're not going to have a home. And it's not going to be an easy time. It's going to be tough. And then he says to another one, he said, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." He wasn't being mean or nasty. He wasn't being unfeeling or uncaring. He said, "Let me go and bury my father. My father has died. Let me go and bury him, and then I will follow you." But what he was saying here is that you have to give up everything. That all of the things that transpire in your life are not important. Because if you're going to follow me, you have to follow me completely and let go of everything that you once thought was important. He knew what this individual was saying. Nobody has ever been able to follow Christ on their own without help. It just doesn't happen. It just does not happen. We don't say, "I have to do this first, and then I'll come and follow you." No, that's not what Jesus wanted. When Jesus called his disciples, did any of them say, "No, I got to finish mending my nets"? Or did they say, well, gee, I got this boat here. I got to sell first before I can come to you. Did they say that, gosh, my family, you know, I got to support them somehow? No. They cast down their, they put their nets aside. They got off of their boats and they followed Christ. That's the way Scripture says it. And they followed him completely. Then he says, and another also said, he said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to my family. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In the old days when a horse was pulling the plow, and the man was turning up the soil, there was one hand, left or right, depending on what handed the person was. But what he had to do is he had to push down on that plow. And it required a lot of effort. It wasn't something that just simply was done. It required effort to push that plow down into the dirt as the horse was pulling it. And in the other hand, he had a, well, they called it a goad here, but it was basically a whip, just a light whip, and it would be, they would touch the horse on the left or right shoulder, and the horse, trained as it was, or mule or whatever, donkey, whatever was being used, would go the opposite direction of where that whip was touching it. So if the furrow or the person was plowing was starting to wander off, give it a little knock, move back over and get it back in line. This is what Jesus was talking about. If you're going to follow me, you have to follow me. You don't look back. You don't have to say, well, I got to go do this, 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 and that, the other again. I have to do that first. And when he says here, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow, in other words, no man who has starts to follow me and then looks back and thinking, well, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing what I should be doing? And then reject what you have done, what he has done. In Hebrews, the chapter 6, verse 4, it says it quite plainly and quite emphatically. Chapter 6, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, who once were in the kingdom, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, if they shall turn away from the plowing, if they should look back, wondering if they have done the right thing, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Jesus was telling this person, once you start with me, you don't quit. Because if you do, the results would be catastrophic. It was a warning to him, and it's a warning to us. Stay the course. Continue to look to Christ. And continue to listen and hear the Holy Spirit as your guide and your stay. And don't believe all the nonsense that's being spread around. Don't believe all of the stuff that people are talking about and staying on top of the daily news so you know everything that's happening. Is that important? No. Because man is going to do what man is going to do. We are not of man. we are of Christ, and what he says that we should do, and how he instructs us of the path that we are to follow. That is the most important thing. That's the thing that we need to do. And not pay attention to all of this foolishness, I call it, that's going on. Because if there's a way of making a mess out of things, mankind will figure it out. There's no doubt. And they will figure it out because it's a secular thinking and understanding. This is the way that I think it should be done. How about this is the way that God wants us to do it? Much better results. Encourage each other, that we encourage one another to continue to look and understand. Continue to read Scripture. Continue to understand what it is that God wants of us. And what he wants of us is to be his child. What he wants of us is to be an example of what the world is not. That's what God wants from us. And then we would encourage others to understand that there is indeed a better way. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us.